I think you need to try new things. If you don't try new things, you don't know what else is out there.
This is Something from Nothing, a show about the creative process and the individuals involved. I'm Justin Lewis. Today, the show is about Paducah artist John Romaine. John and I talked in his garage. It doubles as an art studio. One side of the garage is for him, and the other for his wife, Heather. She is a metalsmith and makes jewelry. On his end of the studio are materials for his ink resin art, which, to the uninformed, looks like, well, a pretty standard garage for a father of two. There's a workbench with some basic tools, screwdrivers, duct tape, a level. You know, pretty normal. But then you can't help but notice a banjo standing up with an unusually colorful head. He also has a set of golf clubs. Again, pretty normal for a guy like John. But next to the clubs are shelves of old lunchboxes and other items from times past. This part of the garage screams junk collector. More on this later. My conversation with Mr. Romaine, as he is known by his art students, started with us talking about his monster lyrics.
Well, originally the monster lyrics came from an idea I did with my students. And I thought it would be a very fun idea to do lyrics and illustrate them. So it was just a project I started with my students, and then I had to do examples. As the teacher, you do examples. And I started doing them, and I started really getting into the idea of listening to lyrics differently. And I think I got into it a little bit more than my students did.
So why monsters?
Mostly because they were fun to illustrate, and there's no right or wrong way to draw a monster. We don't know what they look like, so if he has four fingers or if he has, like, tentacles, that's okay to have. And I feel if they illustrated this with the lyrics with people, you'd be expecting to know what a person looks like. But with monsters, you can have fun with it. And it was all about having fun with the idea and the project. Usually when I'm doing the monsters, I will be listening to the radio in the car or something along those lines, or on Spotify somewhere, just some musical outlet, and I'll hear a song I haven't heard in a while.
Something kind of like,
and I think about that song, and then I take away that song and just think about the lyrics. Then I think about the lyrics in, could you use that in a normal day situation? And what is that normal day situation going to be? And can it be fun? And from there, I kind of just write it down. And when I start doing the lyrics, I get about three or four written down first, and then I sit down and I knock them all out and do about three or four at a time. It's more fun to paint that way because I can go from one to the next.
John's desire to branch out and explore other types of art is what led him to doing the monster lyrics.
The monsters were this fun side project. You get lost as an artist being classified as, oh, he can only do this one thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hard for a lot of people because I can only do lights, because that's what everybody knows me as. It's this light and resin and funky stuff. You can't do anything else. But that's not fun. And as an artist, you learned all these other tricks and secrets of art. So why not just explore as much as you possibly can? So the resin and the monsters came from me saying, well, just take a break from resin. Have some fun with something else. Mm-hmm. So that's why I did the monster lyrics. It was mostly because it was fun. Ink and resin is fun as well, but monster lyrics was just a little break and just changing it up. If I feel like I'm going to do models next or clay next, like, as an artist, you have that freedom. So you might as well explore it if you can.
Just a few weeks before this podcast was recorded, he had an art show unveiling these monster lyrics. It included the perfect touch of his comical awareness. Animal crackers were available for snacking. A first for my, albeit limited, art show experience.
Having an art show is a little nerve-wracking if you haven't had one before. You get this big hype, you hope people show up, and then the doors open and not very many people come in. Then you're hoping and hoping and hoping, and then eventually people start flowing in and then you get relaxed a little bit more. It is kind of tense if you've never had one before. Luckily, I've had a little bit more than one. This is my first Monster Lyric show, but I have had other art shows, so it wasn't as nerve-wracking as I thought it was going to be. Usually, like my first art show I ever had, I was dressed up, suit, really nice. I feel I wore a t-shirt for this last one. You just get comfortable with yourself and how you present your work.
What's that like for you to put your, you know, personal stuff out there for everyone to see?
Well, I know I have a base of family and friends that enjoy my work. So when I put my work out there, a lot of it's for me just to express myself and show people what I've done lately. I already know I have a support group. When other people see it, it's nice to get reactions from them, but it's not devastating when they don't appreciate my work or they don't like my work. I think as an artist, you get certain thick skin about what people say or think about your work. And if you know your idea is solid and you know that what you're doing is good, like, it will come around. If it might not get the inspiration that night, or you might not sell out that night, and that's understandable, but it's not as bad. It's not really as bad as you think. It is a little nerve-wracking, a little scary, but if people don't like your work, they don't like your work. You can't. There's a lot of people's work I don't like. It happens. It's an opinion-based medium. Right. I mean, either they like it or they don't. You can't really force somebody's opinion. So as long as I know I'm putting out the product that I think is the best, I'm happy with it. And I think that you have to know you're doing something right. There's a lot of times people put stuff out there that doesn't look right, or you're not getting the right reaction. You should just keep going until you get the right reaction that you're wanting from other people, but that you feel inside. Because once you know you're doing something right, you know you're doing something right.
For many, displaying their art could be terrifying, but he seems to gain confidence from his community.
I think being in Paducah helps me because I think this town is such a creative outlet that if I was in any other town, I probably would not be doing what I'm doing right now. Not nearly on the scale. Maybe the lyrics, because that would have been a school project, but the ink and the resin, all that other fun stuff that I do, having the shows, that's not happening if I'm not in this city right now. And I think that's just a unique opportunity to present itself right now. So personally, it's take advantage of everything that's going on around us. And that's why I'm doing shows. That's why I'm making so much work, because I have a community that supports me. And I think other people out there might not have that same community that we have right here. And I think that's really important to understand, that having a community is a huge thing to help you be creative. And I think that really feeds off of me and everybody else that I know doing work, is having somebody you can go to and say, hey, how does this look? What do you think I can change? Hey, do you have a studio open I can have a show in? Hey, do you know this person? Oh yeah, they work with this. You can go over here and try that out. So there's just opportunities in this town that I can't find in another town. So I'm just going to take as much advantage of it as I can. Way down low, where the waters flow, back
to Paducah. John is most experienced in ink resin. What's interesting is how he kind of stumbled upon it.
I was doing a show, and I got done with the show, and I looked at my body of work, and I didn't really like it, or I didn't think it was going to hold up throughout the years. And I was trying to explore where I was going to go with my art and what I wanted to do with it. So I started mixing mixed media into my work, started using a lot of resin to seal my work to make it look shiny and clean. And when I was doing that work, I noticed in one of my pieces that I needed an extra color somewhere. And I didn't have the color, and I couldn't dip a marker into the resin because I already poured the resin. So I ended up pouring the ink in there just to get the color. But when the ink hits the resin, it does a metamorphosis where it changes and it starts flowing and moving. And I found that part to be the most interesting thing I've ever seen. So I stopped everything I was doing and immediately started working with resin and ink together. I started doing them on panel boards, and once the panel boards got to an extent, I started experimenting other ways and thinking about layering. And then the plexiglass came into play, where you could layer it, and it looked great, but you didn't have any light unless you showed it in a window. And I didn't really want stained glass, so therefore I went into like lights, light boxes, and the layers, the three or four layers it can create with your depth, so you're actually looking into the work as well. So it just kind of started snowballing slowly, and I've been doing that for about 6 to 8 years. I'm not really sure my time, but I've been doing it for a while. So I've gotten to the point where I know how to do it, what I need to do, how I do it right, how I do it wrong. And I started doing them where I was doing one panel at a time. And then I started doing like 50 panels at a time, thinking I could do something different. And then it's just learning the medium. And I just started learning how these two mediums of ink and resin work together. So it's been a huge experiment.
Ink resin and monster lyrics may seem to be totally unrelated, but with John, they're connected through his personality. With each, his quirky sense of humor shines through. He finds
clever art to be really fun. Like, if somebody's clever with their work, I'm always really interested in that. And I found the monster lyrics to be really clever. Moving on from my monster lyrics back to my ink, when I started taking the ink out of just giant boxes and putting them into objects, also I found that to be like a cleverness thing to do. Not cleverness, I don't even think that's a word. I found that it to be a more unique thing to do with the resin because it was more of a challenge. And I like challenges, so therefore when I went back and forth between the two, it's just finding a new challenge for myself.
And back to that studio garage, where he challenges himself with items such as
a banjo, different types of lights, kitchen scales, radios, and sewing boxes, cameras, whatever I could find that presents a small challenge and find a way to bring new life to that. That's what this other project was about, was taking these old objects that are sitting at a junk store, you know, or on your kitchen cabinet that haven't done anything with their life. Mm-hmm. You might as well make them fun and interesting. So therefore, I kind of just looked into the idea of transforming them again. So we transformed them into now works of art that you get to have, and they're not cumbersome. They're small. They're easy to have somewhere in your house. I will collect about 4 or 5 objects that I'm going to do and then do them all at one time. Instead of one here, one there, it's easier for me to think in a large portion of 4 or 5 objects at one time. I order lights, I get all my resins, get everything ready to go, and it's just a big night of resining and using the ink and getting that done. The next couple days are taking things apart, finding where that fits, wiring lights in there, and then fitting them all together to create that object. So I kind of work in sections of 3 or 4 at a time at any given point.
John has come full circle. He started his intrigue with art, where he spends much of his days now.
In high school.
John is the art teacher at Paducah Tillman High School. In college, he had nearly decided to teach history. Then he realized,
you can do an art teacher too. Like, you don't have to be history. There's no reason to do that. You have all this skill with art. You built it up. Yeah. So I started pursuing art as a major, and I just had really great teachers along the way at high school level and into college, community college especially. I had some really great teachers there that I fed off of and started collaborating with, more like they spoke differently to me than other teachers had, more of a peer-peer relationship than a teacher-student relationship. And I think that was really important to have people speak to you that way about your artwork and what they expect from you. Mm. Even though they're a teacher, when you first leave that high school like thing, it's different. You have to. So having those college teachers pursue me, and then one of them suggested I go here or there, and I went to college up in at Eastern Illinois. Creative
is how John describes his family.
I remember my dad drawing a lot when I was a kid. My mom would weave baskets. No, she doesn't weave baskets. My mom would like weave. She wouldn't even weave. She put like bows onto baskets. That's really what she did. But it was a creative thing. And they never discouraged us from doing art. Having people support you constantly is huge. They never said, oh, you're an art teacher, good luck with that. It was like, oh, cool, you're an art teacher, let's do that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't ever like, oh, you're not really good at this or this. And depending on my work throughout the years, they've always supported the work throughout the years. No matter what I was making, early stuff, late stuff, it was always just, hey, that's really great, keep doing this and keep going with it. So it was never a discouragement. And I think that was really important for me not stopping art. Because there's a good chance a lot of people stop art when they hear people tell you that's not good or that's not great. But when you have family and friends just constantly support you in whatever you do, I think that helps you build your confidence. And from there, you can keep trying new things. And that's where I came from, is supportive family, supportive group of friends, supportive teachers. And they never told me no. They just kept like pushing me in different areas. And eventually I got here.
Unsurprisingly, as a teacher, Mr. Romain sees encouragement and exposure to be important when developing as an artist. It is clear he uses many styles of art to instruct his students. He knows personally how valuable encouragement and exposure is for an artist.
having exposure to a lot of different arts, ceramics, metalsmithing, abstract painting, weaving, all this stuff can come into it. It depends on if you get any exposure to it. And that's the main thing. If you get exposure to something you didn't know you knew how to do, you would never know. You could be an amazing ceramic artist. Mm-hmm. But if you've never touched clay, that talent is not there. So you have to be exposed. So I think as an artist, you constantly try new things to find something that holds your interest. Abstract painting was not at all in my ballpark. Never once crossed my mind that, oh, yeah, you should do abstract work with ink mm-hmm. and resin and lights. Mine was a pop art feel. Like, I loved that idea. I loved what it looked like. But the more I experimented, I got a better reaction from my abstract stuff. Mm-hmm. So if I got a better reaction, I was more inclined to try it. So that's where the abstract came from. I wasn't planning on ever being an abstract artist. I didn't really understand it. But the more I got into it, the more I started looking at other artists, the more I started thinking about it. And truthfully, the reaction that other people gave me was so much more positive than my other stuff. So I just went in that direction. And I never would have gone in that direction if somebody didn't say, like, hey, you should try this out. Or, hey, that was really cool. You should do another one of those. So it just kind of snowballs. It's just a snowball effect. If you find something you're good at or you find something you haven't tried and you really like it, stick with it because it might turn out to be really cool.
John has dozens of Monster lyrics that are sold individually and published in a book. We finished our conversation with him telling me which of the musicians he would most want to show their Monster lyric.
I'm a huge Weezer fan, especially the Blue Album, which is my all-time favorite album. And I could easily show it to Rivers without having a problem or send it immediately to him. Yeah, so Rivers Cuomo could be my number one person I could drop stuff to.
You have been listening to Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. This is a WKMS show produced by Chad Lampe and me. If you want to hear more episodes of Something from Nothing, go to WKMS.org or most anywhere you can find podcasts. For more info on the show, you can go to the Facebook page, Something from Nothing. Photos and videos of the guests can be found on Instagram under the name at Something from Nothing Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.